Welcome to Defining Roles, a podcast about jobs you may have never heard of. I'm your host, Kate Barrett. Let's explore the possibilities of what's out there so that we can find our perfect role. This week on the podcast, I am talking to Bobby, who was a police officer and now is a human performance coach. Bobby shares his personal journey of why he chose to leave the police force to now support other first responders on their physical and mental health journey as well. Bobby shares tools to measure health, where to start on a health journey, and he just gives a lot of insight on exactly why being in the police force or other first responders role is so hard on health, and whether that's, you know, the physical or mental abilities, and just the importance on why these are the positions where we need people to be the strongest. So this is a super interesting one that can be applicable even if you're not in these roles. I think it's great to see what's available, but also there's a lot of information in here that you can use on, you know, evaluating where you are and where you want to be on your health journey. Before we get into the interview, if you would leave a review and rate the podcast on whichever is your preferred platform, that would greatly be appreciated. I always love seeing some feedback and some messages by those of you that are listening regularly and enjoying the podcast. And also share with a friend if you think there's someone that would find this conversation to be interesting or helpful, send it on over. That's how I have found a lot of my favorite podcasts or episodes with different people. All right, now let's jump over to the interview with Bobby. Bobby, thank you for being Hello. On the podcast today.
Thank you for asking me to be on.
What's your official job title?
The best way to put it is I would be considered a human performance coach, advisor, consultant.
How would you define your role?
I work with people in the tactical community. So first responders, law enforcement, military, paramedics, firemen, people like that. And I help them get as healthy as possible and improve their physiology. It's my belief that when you improve your physiology, you improve and gain all the skills needed for those jobs.
Just on that note, would you kind of elaborate a little bit more about why what you do is so important? So first responders, military, having them in peak performance, these are not roles that we can just be okay at. Would you kind of give some of your thoughts and your background? We'll jump into that a little bit, but if you would just kind of share your passion or where this all started.
Yeah, so this started for me in 2018, right after I left law enforcement. I had been in law enforcement from 2006 to 2018. So after I left, I moved to Austin, and I became a follower of Onnit. And I really enjoyed what they were doing as far as the human performance aspect, where they were very unconventional in their methods. A lot of their supplements, which I had been taking for a few years now, to include Alpha Brain and New Mood, were the two gateway supplements to Onnit. The reason I jumped into it was because I started suffering a lot of health issues. So I gained some weight. I was dealing with things like depression and anxiety and stress, and I was over-caffeinated, which was causing other problems. I was eating poorly. So all of these things were just kind of becoming a huge health problem and risk for me. And it just wasn't healthy. And so I had entered a space where I was like, if I'm not healthy, I can't help anybody else. Right. And so that's when I went on this kind of journey of discovering what it is that I can do. And honestly, when I left, I had no idea what I was going to do. Right. So it wasn't until probably 6 months after I'd moved to Austin, I went on a retreat with a bunch of Onnit people to Santa Monica. And that's when I kind of had the epiphany of like, oh, shoot, well, why don't I learn and gather the skills needed to help people that came from my background, right? Because there's a million cops in this country, and there has to be people that are experiencing the same things that I experienced too. And then to dive even deeper into that, I have ADHD and like OCD and slightly dyslexic. And so all of those problems made it even worse on top of all of the other physiological problems that I was having. So that's just kind of a recent discovery. I was like, oh, shoot, well, why don't I kind of create and gather the skill set again to help give back and give people in these fields the best tools possible to have the best careers possible. Basically, what I was lacking in my 12 years, what I would have loved to have had that would have made my career better. I looked at it as if people who our society really like views as role models, like athletes, professional athletes, right? They spend millions of dollars on their health, whether it be like mobility coaches, strength and conditioning coaches, nutritionists or dietitians, people like that, right? To play a game, which, you know, all credit to them, they're very extremely talented human beings, men and women, and they're extremely skillful in a game.
Yeah.
Where at the end of the day, all right, cool, you didn't win a Super Bowl, you didn't win the World Cup. Awesome. Well, we have millions of men and women going into in this field without the tools necessary to win life. I mean, you could literally die every single day that you go to work. It's a rough life, right? And we just don't have the tools, or we've not given people the tools to prop them up for success. And that's where I'm trying to kind of come in and really take a holistic approach to everything, where, you know, body, soul, and mind are interconnected. So if one thing's off, other things are going to be off too.
Yeah, I think when I heard your story and your journey, and it was the job was so hard on you, you're just like, I can't do this anymore. But then taking that, getting healthy, and now turning around, but it's the holistic approach. And to me, it makes so much sense that if you're not physically, mentally in a good spot, you're useless to the people around you, let alone these are the men and women that are, you know, keeping society going, and we need them to be in top shape. It's amazing, you know, that you highlight like the training programs do not give the tools to support the holistic lifestyle around this. You know, they give training on firearms and different situations, but I think this is a huge piece that hopefully we'll start to see the importance. And would you go into a little bit about on it? So that is a company that does supplements, but also a lot of training. Would you kind of just give a little background on what Onnit is for those that aren't familiar?
Yeah. So Onnit is a supplement company that was founded by a guy named Aubrey Marcus in 2010, I believe. And he started out with a product called Alpha Brain, which is a nootropic. And I discovered Onnit in about, I want to say around 2014, I was having some problems sleeping. So I was trying to find something that would help me sleep. And I discovered New Mood, which is their calming supplement. It's got things like valerian root and melatonin and stuff like that in there to help you really just chill out. And they had a free sample. It was like $5 shipping and handling for like a 30-day supply or something. So I was like, oh, okay, cool, I'll try it. I had never heard of that brand before. And then I tried it and I was like, oh, wow, this actually works. And then so I started looking in more and more into their products, discovered Alpha Brain, love Alpha Brain. I use it pretty much every day. And that's a nootropic. It just kind of helps focus and memory and recall and stuff like that, cognitive stuff. And so then I started looking into what their philosophy was, right? And their philosophy is total human optimization. I came from a world where everything was conventional, like barbell work, like pull heavy weight, push heavy weight, pain is weakness leaving the body kind of mindset. And that contributed to a lot of my injuries. Onnit really took on this unconventional approach where they use things like kettlebells and steel maces and body weight. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see what this is about. And so that's when I decided to move to Austin in 2018. And they have a gym, the only gym, Onnit Gym in Austin. And so I became a member, and my sister younger sister was living in Austin at the time too, and she actually started working for Onnit. So then we kind of just got thrown into the mix with everybody there, and was very fortunate to be mentored by some of the bigger decision makers at Onnit. And I started cultivate this mindset of, you know, like what you eat goes into how you sleep goes into how you know, it's a lot of basic science stuff, but they bring it out in a very like non-traditional education way. I felt like, well, you know, if this worked for me, then why don't we take these methods and try to apply them to people in these fields? Those fields are filled with the mindset of like, if you're not pulling really heavy weight, squatting really heavy weight, pushing really heavy weight, then like it's pointless. Like if you're not big and muscular, you're not strong, and you don't give that traditional persona of what a police officer or somebody in the military or a fireman would look like. And that's just wrong. I forgot where I read this, but it was a saying of like, what's the point of being big and strong if you're always hurt? It's so true. Like, oh, sweet. Your shirt is cutting off your arm circulation, but you can't even rotate to like bend over to pick something up. Or when you do, you throw your back out or your hips out. What's the point in that?
Yeah.
Right? Like what's the use? What's the functionality of that?
There is so much right there that you just mentioned. It could go in so many directions, but I love the idea of like, it's the performance, it's the tactical. We have to be able to jump the fence, you have to be able to run, you have to be, it's the performance, not just the intimidation factor. It's part of it, but also if it's kind of just this empty facade, that doesn't get you very far. What are some of the most common injuries that police officers or military first responders that you see? What are some of the common ones that just come from the job?
So a lot of the injuries, a vast majority of the injuries that you see are going to be musculoskeletal. The majority of them come from, I mean, basically any joint, really, because you're always load bearing. I mean, I wore probably 30, 35 pounds of gear because I had to, you know, a vest, body armor, all that stuff. And so when that's, you know, you're just being compressed, you know, gravity is already compressing you, and then you add on an extra 30 pounds every single day, well, you're just getting compressed and compressed. And if you're not releasing and decompressing, well, I mean, there were times where I would get out of my car and like tweak something just by just getting out of my car, right? So a lot of musculoskeletal injuries, specifically sprains and strains. And a lot of it didn't even come from physical altercations, to be honest with you. A lot of it was just like everyday things, like, oh, I tried to hop a fence and blew my ankle out or blew my knee out. So yeah, you see a lot of that, a lot of like tissue damage, like me specifically. Everybody has this dilemma of degenerative disc disease, which isn't really a disease. I don't know why we call it that. It's more of a disorder. It's basically like the discs in your back just get compressed from time and gravity. Well, when you take somebody who's load bearing, like in law enforcement, right, that just worsens. And then we have bad posture because of that. So then that just adds on to the whole thing. I think for me specifically, I didn't have the knowledge, the insight, or the people in my life to be like, hey, that's not a normal part of life. Like, you should probably be taking these steps and not just going back to the gym to perpetuate the injury cycle that you're on. So yeah, a lot of back, you know, a lot of people would think like, oh, getting stabbed or shot or ran over. Yeah, that's a part of it, but that's actually a very small percentage of where injuries come from. A lot of it's just wear and tear of 20, 25, 30 years of service in that profession.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned in a previous conversation, you did a lot of night shifts. And so you're just sitting in the car and you're not moving too much and just being confined. Having the unconventional sleep schedule was also very challenging, and what that does to your body.
Yeah. So out of my 12 years, I did probably 10 and a half on some type of night shift. And so with that, this is stuff that you're not told, right? Like, we all know, we can see the physical signs of what staying up all night does to you, but the physiological problems that you get are just ridiculous, right? And this is something that people don't know, right? You're hormonally wrecked, so then you start to crave bad food. You know, I don't say bad food. You start to crave more nutrient-lacking foods, so the fast foods, right? your hormone to basically triggers your brain to tell you like, oh, you're full, basically comes down. That's called leptin. So yeah, that hormone will trigger your brain to tell you like, oh yeah, you don't need any more food. Well, that hormone goes down and the hormone that makes you crave more food goes up. Wow, so there's that imbalance, right? We are heavily over caffeinated. I think at one point in my career, I was probably ingesting like 900 milligrams of caffeine a day.
What's a normal cup of coffee?
A normal cup of coffee is like 90 milligrams a day. So I was probably doing 2-3 cups of coffee a day, like 2-3 Monster Energies or, you know, something like that. And I thought I was being healthy because I was getting like the zero sugar ones. No, those things still jack you up. And then caffeine has a half-life of like 11 to 12 hours. So if you ingest, you know, 300 milligrams, 11 hours later, you still have 150 milligrams in your body circulating, right? And then you got to think of people who, like me, don't metabolize caffeine very efficiently, right? So then it just stays in your body even longer. So then it's just a cascade of other issues that come along with that. And we just don't know this stuff, right? And we just don't understand it. And so, and then that leads to things like the depressive states. I'll be honest, like I had mood swings because, you know, and you sit and think, you're like, oh, what's wrong with me? Like, yeah, there is something wrong with you, but it's not your fault, right? It's your environment. I feel like we're doing a lot of people a disservice. Suicide rates are pretty high in law enforcement. Divorce rates are pretty high in very high in law enforcement. Domestic abuse, like all that stuff correlates to just physical damage that we incur from the career. When you're just so amped up all the time and in such an inflammatory state, like it's not hard to just snap at somebody, right? Like how stressful that job really, really is and how important it is to really mentor and coach people to be the best version of themselves it's building better people to be better law enforcement professionals or military or first responder professionals, right? If you have to start with the base, with the subject matter, and it's that person, right? Like if you don't have somebody who has a decent base and don't support them, well, they're going to struggle.
But I like that there's ways that we can set people up for success. Like it's a hard job, but also there's more we can do that supports them. It's the mental health is such a big thing. I'm such a big believer in sleep. If you're not getting good sleep, I mean, anything else you do is not going to have as much of a hold. I mean, there's an optimistic spin of it doesn't take that much to make the most of difficult or less than ideal circumstances.
It doesn't. Not at all.
When people first come to you, how do you determine where to start, what they need? Are you looking mainly at injuries and pain, or do you look at performance goals? Where do you begin?
Yeah, so it's kind of a different evaluation every single time, right? First of all, it's got to be like, where are you? Are you somebody who is wanting to get into a police academy? Cool. Well, let's design a program for you to help you pass all of the standardized, like I have to run a half mile and a half under a certain time. I have to get certain pushups. Cool. Let's get you to not only meet those expectations, but then exceed them. Or you're somebody who is already done that and is going into an academy or a boot camp or whatever it might be, and you're just wanting to improve yourself physically for however long. Like my academy was 29 weeks, right? So then for those 29 weeks, like what is it that you can do to better prepare yourself, right? Wow. So then there's a program for that to include nutritional coaching. Mm-hmm. And then there's a program for people who are already in, who are like, oh man, I'm 5 years in and I've gained 20 pounds and I'm not sleeping and I'm not doing, you know, all of these problems I'm starting to notice are coming up. So then we go with that. And then once we've determined where you kind of fit in that paradigm, then we evaluate, well, where are you physically, right? Like we kind of have to get an idea like, okay, well, can you squat properly without any weight, without any load bearing? Can you, you know, do certain tasks that don't have that don't hurt you? Can you, you know, do these certain things, kind of like a movement diagnostic, like, okay, well, let's see where you're at. Then we kind of gauge, okay, well, you need to work on this, focus on that, and go from there. But yeah, so then with that, like, it's one-on-one coaching, and I really want to get into a space where it's also not just the physical aspect, but the being that counselor, a career coach, if you will, I guess, and a life coach for law enforcement, because there's really no guidance, man. There's really no one that you can kind of turn. And I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but I think when you can reach out to somebody who has experienced what you are either going into or already in, if they have the right state of mind, it's a starting point, right? And it's really just doing the self-evaluation. I recommend people read philosophy, right? And broaden their mindset and broaden the way that they view the world, right? I think that we view in law enforcement, we view a lot of black and white. Once, again, like I said, we determine where you're at, then we do the physical aspect, and then really I try to not only just do the physical, but like the, hey, where are you at? Where are you at in life? Like, what is your mindset? Like, how, you know, how are things with your kids or your family or whatever? Like, what are you thinking career-wise, you know, and just help somebody, like, God, I wish I had somebody who had the right mindset as opposed to the people that I had who were just like salty veterans in the department. You adopt that mindset and then you're not willing to open up and really contribute. You're just contributing to the problems.
I think that just sounds applicable in every industry though. Like I think that's the beauty of mentorship. Were you in your 20s when you started?
I was 21.
With the police force?
Yeah, 21.
Yeah. So it's, I think part of that, it just seems like it applies to everyone as they grow. Like, you learn to pick your battles, you learn how to form your own thoughts and opinions, and, you know, it's like dwelling on that. I've learned too that it's just like I can either focus on the problem or I can focus on, you know, me, the role that I play in it, a possible solution, when to just walk away and let it be, and when is it actually a big deal?
Yeah.
So I think part of that too is just it's important to have the people that you turn to that bring out the best in you and teach you those skills to cope, rather than that the echo chamber or keeping the negativity or all of that saltiness going is definitely something that happens in all industries. It's just not a good spot when it happens in the department.
Yeah. I mean, it's not to say like you can't be upset at the negativity. Like, don't bother you. Like, yeah, it's going to bother you. It's a part of life. But it's one thing to accept, like, look at the negativity, accept it, and be like, okay, how do I adapt or how do I mold myself to where this does not bother me as much? Right? Like, why am I so emotionally attached to this decision? Is it because my pride was, and for me, a lot of it was pride. I think in that career, most of the times it's going to boil down to pride. I mean, it's nothing but alpha humans wanting to assert their dominance, right? And so, and it's not necessarily the worst thing. Like, yeah, you want people who are going to be assertive, assertive in an intelligent, bring an intelligent assertiveness to the table.
Oh, that's an important distinction.
Yeah.
Right there. Along with the kind of the physical plan and, you know, the mental and the emotional plan, what are some of the tools that you use within that, whether it be nutrition, supplements, hydration? What is your go-to on big, like, hitters when it comes to making impactful change at the beginning?
It's really simple. I think we complicate, and like people in the fitness industry and like the health and wellness industry tend to overcomplicate things, right? And it goes down to like Occam's razor. Like, usually the simplest thing is what the best option is, right? We try to be like, well, your caloric intake has to be this and that. And like, yes, that plays a small role in it, but I think that we go way too far on the sciencey end when if you just break it down to be like, all right, hey, I'm drinking 3 liters of Dr. Pepper every single day. Should probably cut that out. I'm drinking not even a liter of water, you know, every day. Okay, let's increase that. Like, I'm eating processed food for every single meal of my day, every single day of the week. Okay, well, let's scale that back and add in nutrient dense food to replace that cheap fuel that you're putting in your body. And not to say like I don't enjoy a good Chick-fil-A sandwich every once in a while, or that's fine. But when that's your meals every single day, then that's going to cause problems, right? As far as like supplementation, I'm a big proponent in getting all your micronutrients from what you eat. And then if you are then lacking, then you should be able to supplement. And with that, there comes blood work and stuff like that. So I tell people like, hey, go get blood work, talk to your doctor. I'm not a doctor, right? So I can't tell mm-hmm. you this is what you need. But if you really want to optimize yourself, talk to your doctor and, find a good, in my opinion, a good functional medicine doctor who looks at the whole scheme of things. And it's like, all right, what are you eating? How are you sleeping? How much caffeine? How much alcohol? How are all these variables contributing to the issues that you're having? And get blood work and see where you're at. Like, oh, most people are vitamin D deficient. Most people are magnesium deficient, right? So I also do things like I fast. I know that for a few years I was having issues with certain things that were accelerating like my ADHD. And so I would sit and do like a 24-hour, 36-hour fast and then reintroduce something that I thought was giving me problems. For instance, like sugar alcohols. So things that are in sugar-free energy drinks, right? Like what they sweeten those with, those things would give me problems. And those things exacerbate my impulsivity, right? And so I always thought, for years, I always thought, man, there's something wrong with me. Well, like, yeah, it's because I'm drinking all of this crap that's just making me more impulsive or making me more, I'm not kidding you. For a while, I was like, I think I'm bipolar. Because I would have these chronic, just like these crazy mood swings. And I mean, it just was symptoms of what I was eating, drinking, and lack of sleep.
I think that is so important to remember, and especially as a coach, to hear you found what works for you and kind of the different main areas where you needed to add some health or some mindfulness, but then to have the tools to lead people on their own journey and how to check in with themselves. Is that kind of how you see your role, is here's what's worked for me, but this is where you need to kind of take inventory of what's going on for you?
Yeah, I think the job of any coach should be able to teach somebody to not have to need them, right? Like we should have coaches, but I should be able to teach you, like, I did not do my job if you didn't learn how to do what I was teaching you on your own, right? Mm. And so again, it just goes back down to the simplicity of like lifestyle habits. Like, am I taking in, 5 hours of Netflix or social media every single day? Or am I eating this that doesn't make me feel good? Or am I drinking this that, makes me feel like crap the next day, like alcohol? So teaching somebody to basically do my job without me.
Yeah, there's not an easy fix. I know a lot of us just went, myself included, like if I could just, it's like, tell me the right thing to buy and I'll just have it magically happen. But that's, you have to just make the adjustments. You got to do it.
Yeah, no, I think that just goes with our society. We're just such a, like, I ordered it from Amazon and it comes in 2 days, right? Like, we just want the quick fix. And the problem is that we've taken so long to wreck ourselves that we're not going to get a quick fix. Mm-hmm. Like we really have to like look and compartmentalize what it is that we're feeling and what it is that we can do to make it better.
Yeah. I know you've created such a niche for yourself that came out of just your personal journey and kind of turning around and, offering what you've learned from your experience to others so that they don't have to take as long and go down, the whole path that you did. What are some of the hard versus soft skills that you've developed? So hard skills would be technical training, education that you've done. I think your law enforcement background definitely plays such a huge role in what you do because you know what these men and women are dealing with on a day-to-day. And then soft skills are just some of the things that you're naturally good at. What are your thoughts on hard versus soft skills for what you do?
Yeah, definitely soft skills are the communication and really helping somebody, the communication and articulation to help somebody understand a concept and an idea of working with people in law enforcement. I spent 9 years of my career in some type of teaching role. I was a field training officer. So when you were a new cadet, you came out of the academy, and I was one of the people that was, you know, you were given to me, and I had to make sure that you knew how to become a cop. I was a firearms instructor, a use of force instructor, and a lot of other things. So I spent years and probably thousands of hours not only learning but teaching, which is the great way of doing things, right? You learn something and you quickly teach it to somebody. That's how you're going to better retain the information, or at least for me, it is. So my ability to instruct something complicated or something that somebody might not get, or being able to structure that concept and have them fully grasp it. And then it's really awesome when you see them, you know, a couple of months or years down the road, you're like, oh, I taught you that. I'm very thankful for my 12 years in law enforcement, and thankful for my department being so training driven that I got, you know, so much of this stuff. And not only that, like management and supervision, right? I spent the last couple of years of my career in management and supervision, taking several hundreds of hours in advanced training in that, and learning how to understand your employee and how to best facilitate what's going to help them prosper in the field. So yeah, I'm just thankful for law enforcement and what it's made me, and the shortcomings that I had in it, because now I'm where I'm at, trying to teach the people where my shortcomings were and how not to, you know, creating the antidote to having a better go at things than I did.
It must take a lot of self-education to stay up on what to look for in the blood work and what on the nutrition side, you know, specific things that you work with when you're working with your clients. And is that just come from like personal curiosities, or how does your journey look right now when you look into the scientific side of things?
Yeah, a lot of it is just based off of like my experience, like what were my health issues, right? And so then I think like, well, okay, well, I'm definitely not the first person to experience this, and I won't be the last. So what mm-hmm. could we do to help somebody either not experience this or lessen the experience, the negative experience? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I always thought that there was something the matter with me personally when I would experience things. So like going back to the police academy in 2006, as far as nutrition, we're always told like carbs are energy. Carbs are what you need to fuel yourself, right? Especially if you're doing hard work, which I was. I was in academy from, you know, 5:30 in the morning till like 7 p.m. at night. So long hours doing physical work. So what I would do is be like, all right, I'm just going to kill some pasta, fuel myself. And so with that, like, I would feel like crap. Like I'd have digestive issues and all of this stuff, which then when you're having digestive issues, it's hard to run miles on miles on miles on and perform physically when your gut is killing you, right? And then now your gut affecting your brain. And like, yeah, so the nutrition aspect of it all was like, okay, well, it's not a one size fits all. Like there are some issues. There are some people who are going to have issues with like gluten, which I discovered I do have a sensitivity and like I have problems with. And then when you're stressed the heck out, like your digestive system is just not going to work as properly. Right. So yeah. So again, looking back at that experience, personal experience, I was like, okay, well, who else is experiencing this? And that's where I want to be like, okay, well, if you're experiencing this, you know, try this. Let's substitute mm-hmm. like something crazy like pasta for some fruits and veggies that will fill you up and get you carb loaded.
I think that's so interesting because that is just, I don't know where it came from, but that's what we associate with, like, if you're going to run a marathon, this is what you should be eating, but check in, make sure it's so working for you specifically, not just kind of that broad stroke advice that is so present out there.
And there are some fundamental foundational aspects of nutrition. But mm-hmm. again, I think nutrition is very nuanced. And today's day and age, like we have to be very mindful of what works for certain people and what doesn't, right? There's a lot of new science that shows like, oh yeah, maybe like for me, like I have a condition where I absorb so much iron that if I eat foods with more iron, it becomes very detrimental to my health, right? So for somebody just to be like, oh yeah, just, you know, protein, get your protein from steak, this and that, that's not good because there's no, that stuff's chalked with nothing but iron, right? So following more of like a Mediterranean pescatarian diet really optimizes my performance. And eating things like highly processed pastas on a regular basis is also detrimental. Not saying that I don't, like every once in a while I'll enjoy a good, you know, bit of pasta or whatever, but not all the time, which I discovered way back then. I didn't know at the time, you know, in 2006, like, oh yeah, this is leading to like my gastrointestinal issues and all these other issues. So
was that just through your blood work that you were able to see all of that? Or was that just playing with your diet and seeing what you, what made you feel better?
I was just playing with my diet and seeing like, fasting, eliminating everything that could be playing a role. Obviously you're not going to 100% eliminate it, but getting rid of it, most of it, and then slowly introducing and seeing where the biological differences were, like, oh yeah, my gut does feel a little funny from that. Or, you know, I'm a little brain fogged from it and stuff like that.
You put in the time and learned the hard way so that other people don't have to.
Yeah, I guess. So I guess that should be like the saying for the company. I did all the hard stuff so you don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, really, I wanted to touch on hydration a little bit. My main question is when it comes to salt, we're always led to believe that salt is not good for us or salt has been demonized. Would you talk about salt for a minute and just the role it plays in hydration and with our body?
Yeah. So, I mean, salt is an electrolyte, right? So you've got salt and magnesium and stuff like that, where our bodies need that, right? So a lot of people think like hydration, I'm just going to drink water. Well, there's a problem if you're drinking water that doesn't have any minerals in it. It's just water. Well, you're just going to wash out any minerals that you have stored already. Right. So if you like, I mean, it's, if your pee is too clear, that's not great. Like you want a little bit of color in there. So yeah. So salt, it's a vital electrolyte. And so I drink it every morning. I start my day off with like 20 ounces of room temperature water with a little sprinkle of salt in there just to get the juices flowing. I mean, it's vital to the plasticity of your cells. Like it needs, you know, and if not, it just becomes kind of, they become kind of rigid and stuff. So, salts and every other electrolyte is needed. But again, to really key down, you need to talk to a doctor, a registered dietitian and stuff to really get a better grasp and what your levels should be, as opposed to me telling you like, yeah, salt is good, it's essential, you need it, but I can't tell you like you need X amount of salt or X amount of magnesium or X amount of, you know, iodine or whatever in your system in order to perform, because I just don't have those credentials. I can't do that. But I mean, it's not a bad idea to sprinkle a little salt. I mean, outside of if your doctor tells you like, hey, don't do that, okay, well, maybe seek a second opinion. What are you eating with your salt? Are you eating highly refined carbohydrates with your salt? And there's probably, you know, highly processed meats. Yeah. There might be an issue with that. But typically, you know, what I've found is that I've eliminated this processed stuff and introduced a more nutrient dense diet that a lot of my problems get better, like my sleep, my brain fog, all this stuff. Like it just starts to clear up and you start to understand things differently. But yeah, salt is huge. It's essential.
Years ago, I had blood work and all of that stuff done. And it was one of the things I recommended was that I start eating more salt, which like I barely put salt on things because I for years thought that like, oh, salt is bad. We had, you know, low sodium was definitely the fad at the time. So it's just interesting to hear, like, again, it's so important to look at your specific body and your blood work and figure out what works for you instead of because it works for somebody else doesn't mean it's right for me. Nope. I need more iron, so I won't be on the Bobby diet, you know, like that's not how it works. What are some places that you go for reliable information?
Oh, man.
There's so much.
There's a ton out there. And that's the problem is that there's so much information that people who are trying to start on their health journey have no idea where to start. Right. And that's where I'd like to play the role. Like, I don't know it all. I'm not a doctor again, but I have a good idea of my bearing.
Yeah.
So a couple of people that I really look up to are Dr. Rhonda Patrick. I think she's phenomenal. A lot of the research that she does, very evidence-based in any of her recommendations. She's not a medical doctor. She's a researcher, but a lot of the research, again, she does. I've implemented things like fasting and sauna. Because then she also interviews so many doctors, like Dr. Sachin Panda, who's like a world-renowned doctor in ketosis, and how, and one of his things, like my mom was diagnosed with cancer in 2020, right? And so we found Dr. Sachin Panda and his research on the ketogenic diet and cancer research and how it actually improved the efficacy of a lot of the cancer meds and a lot of the, you know, the ability for somebody with cancer to beat cancer because of his research, you know, and there's just so many layers to that. So that's just one specific. Dr. Andrew Huberman, he's phenomenal. His podcasts are great, very informational. As far as other health people, people like Dr. Mark Hyman, who's a functional medicine doctor, pretty big on him, but it can be very overwhelming for sure.
Yeah. Well, your mom's story is a whole new episode of just, you know, the way that you can use different medicine, like introducing the functional medicine to help enhance maybe some of the Western medicine that she was doing. That's amazing though. And she's doing well. She's good.
Yeah. She's now 2 years cancer free. So yeah,
wow.
As of this month. Yeah. This month.
Amazing. So good. Okay. Final question for you, Bobby.
Got it.
What is the best piece of career advice you've either received or would offer to others?
Ooh, grow. Actually become more philosophical in mind and not just philosophical to be able to quote whoever, but also to be able to adapt it. You know, don't speak of your philosophy, but be about your philosophy, right? Like I can talk to people to their blue in the face about health and wellness and stuff, but if I'm eating McDonald's every single day, well, big whoop, like what am I really worth? But that goes into anything that you do. And grow and become philosophic in anything that you do, because then you're going to learn to deal with a lot of the adversities, because adversity is a part of life, whether it be personal or professional. And that's taken me a really hard, and sometimes they can be both. One can affect the other. And it's taken me a really long time to understand that and like work and cope through that. So that would be my biggest career and life piece of advice: grow and become philosophical.
I mean, what else can you do? It makes it harder, but I mean, you're the perfect example of someone who lived the challenging experience so that others can have an easier journey. The first responders, you know, whether you're policemen, military, you can show them, hey, these are all the different things that I wish I would have known at your stage. Here's where it took me and here's how I got better. So let's prevent the injury part and let's just keep you healthy. And I just think what you're doing is so needed and so important. And I hope to see it happening on a larger scale. I think, you know, if we can introduce your philosophy and just holistic approach to the department as a whole and not just individuals that have to come seek out, you know, because they're struggling. Yeah. If we started out from the beginning, I just think we'd be in such a better place.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So thank you for what you do. Where can people connect with you if they're curious to learn more or if they know someone who would really benefit from your work?
Yeah. So I have my website up. It's just bobbyjaramillo.com. I'm on Instagram as the Bobby Jaramillo, LinkedIn, Bobby Jaramillo, and Facebook, Bobby Jaramillo. And TikTok, the Bobby Jaramillo. So it's all out there. Just my name.
Awesome. And I will have that spelled in the show notes.
Yeah,
because you're like me and you cannot pronounce it like that. We'll make sure that people can get connected. So Bobby, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Another big thank you to Bobby for being on the podcast and sharing with us today. This is just a great example of ways that we can actually improve different roles that are super important in our society. So this would be such a great starting point for a lot of police officers and others that are in these challenging roles and need to be strong mentally and physically to show up and do their best. And also the longevity. These are careers that have really high burnout rates. And I think that Bobby's onto something with really supporting the people that serve us the most. If you'd like to learn more, definitely reach out to Bobby on one of the platforms that he mentioned. I'll have them linked in the show notes. He is one of the brand ambassadors or partners of Onnit. So I think he can get you hooked up with some of those sample packs of the supplements and things to try out. Just a lot of great resources that he touched on to help get you to the next level or to support those that you may know in some of these first responder roles. I hope you're doing well and enjoyed this episode. I will catch you next time on another episode of Defining Roles.